final speaker is Bill Bowman. Bill's Vice President for Performance Programs, Breed Improvement, something like that. He's in charge of performance programs at American Angus, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about the Angus Source Program, and again, will be our final speaker. I appreciate everybody's attention and willingness to stick around. Bill's got some good stuff for us. Bill?
Thanks, Bob.
So you probably need instruction here, too.
Yeah. Forward, backward,
don't touch that.
Where's the Mardi Gras button?
This is the Mardi Gras
button.
Okay.
Laser
right
now.
Unless you're done. Well, Bob, we do appreciate this platform. I guess I feel kind of like the cleanup bull after a real successful AI program. I think a lot of the information has been covered that we want to discuss, and so we'll just go through this real quick and see if we can answer any questions. I think we've probably all seen this slide, and we understand what adds value in the industry today. And so I think as we try to determine the value of information, whether it's performance history that we might have on cattle from a historical standpoint, if we look at the value that can be added by preconditioning or health programs, additional value that can be created with source and age verification, and now we hear a lot about natural, organic type programs and premium branded programs and the premiums that can be involved there. And so I think our goal and all the goals of the programs here are without a doubt to try to increase value in producers that are selling feeder calves or retaining ownership of those cattle through the feedlot and the harvest phase of our industry. And so I think we want to try to understand some of the other ways that we can try to help capture value. And that's one of the things that the Angus Source Program that we've really tried to emphasize and using that as a means of trying to capture that information, but as well communicate that information to potential purchasers of those cattle. So the Angus Source Program, a little bit of history. We started also back in the 90s of trying to identify Angus cattle in the commercial segment and trying to pass that information along to help create some of that value and pull through the value of Angus genetics and ultimately Angus seed stock in the industry. We started out with kind of a generic tagging program as well that based on more of a affidavit type system of we'll send you the tags if you ask for them and put them in what you want and we hope they're Angus. And so we kind of went through that phase and saw a lot of interest and actually we had a lot of uptake with our seed stock producers in that type of a program because they could easily buy tags for their customers, get those tags to them and really provide a service to those producers that were using their genetics. I think as we saw transitions in the industry and the value of source and age verification, we took a stronger look, and back in 2005, our organization chose to try to go into the PVP approach at verification of those points. And so really the program designed to help to identify Angus sired cattle and Marty, I guess through some of the things we heard this morning, we know that just because they're black, they're not Angus, too, and some of the comments you made. And so we wanted to try to create a program that would help us identify those Angus-sired cattle and differentiate those Angus cattle from just black-hided cattle. And so that became a key focus of the Angus Source Program, as well as trying to increase the value of those cattle by conveying that information on down the chain. As I mentioned, October of 2005, we actually issued the USDA Process Verified Program. We wrote that program and maintained that program through our organization or in-house, and it is audited and monitored by the USDA, which you probably have heard kind of some of the the different variations. We actually, much like the Red Angus program, do a risk assessment on producers when they do enroll in the program over the phone. Following that risk assessment, the low-risk producers are supplied tags. The medium-risk producers, we do 100% on-farm audits as well. We have the good fortune, we have 13 regional managers on staff that can help do some of those audits, but it's quite honestly become a bigger task than they can handle, and so we've got some contract auditors as well that work with us on the program for those on-site audits. And then ultimately we do as well 10% audit on the cattle that are tagged. 10% of those producers would receive an on-farm audit as a follow-up of the USDA program. I did it, didn't I?
Yeah.
I think it was part of our Missouri education or something.
CSU didn't have that problem.
Just pick a slide.
Yeah, a slide. I think it's actually this one button.
I think it might
just have it on the
slides. I can just use the computer.
I'll resort to the old-fashioned way and push the button.
Hey, Bill, so we get back to it,
yep.
Volume of tag sales to date.
We, since the PVP program, and that's one point I'd make, I mean, we saw, Ron, a drastic decrease in volume of tags when we went from just sending out or having the ability to send out tags to going to the PVP with the age and source verification side of it. And so we just here recently enrolled 100,000 head through the program. We're projecting for this fiscal year, which we're about three-fourths of the way through, somewhere around 75,000 to 80,000 head this year. But it has been a great, sometimes not great, learning curve for producers that we had in the program originally to then shift their paradigm into the age and source verification program created some challenges along the way there.
Down there.
Okay.
The old-fashioned way.
Some of the we verify for 3 points. We genetically verify that they are sired by registered Angus bull. All the bulls in their herd bull battery, unless they can differentiate that those calves are sired and have been managed specifically in a different ranch or different group, must be registered Angus bulls. And so quite honestly, we eliminate the majority of our producers that don't qualify simply on the genetic side of it. And it's been kind of the other side is it's a blessing, is we've got producers that may have one Hereford bull still in their herd bull battery today that are encouraged to buy all Angus bulls next year. And so that side of it has helped to quantify the genetic side of the program. We also look at source and age. We do group age, again, identified by the first calf born, and those tags can't be issued until that first calf is born. We have two options. This is actually our PVP tag, the dangle tag, which we sell it for $1 per head. There is no minimum number on the number of animals that we will enroll, and we recognize some of the logistical problems that it creates when we have producers that want to enroll their two calves, and it's something that we have to continue to monitor and address from time to time to see how we can service the industry. And again, as you might expect, when $1 per head for a dangle tag is the only cost to get into the program, it's the least cost alternative for a lot of folks to get an age and source verification tag. And so it's created some problems, but it's something that we think has created some real value for the industry as well. The other option, we can do a match pair with an RFID tag and that dangle tag for $325. Again, those are the only costs of the program. we actually then create a marketing document that goes with the cattle. Again, we identify, and I might skip back up here real quick. I think the laser will work. We identify or maintain the uniqueness of these lots a couple ways. Number one, we do have a unique animal ID number. When we created the program, we, like everyone, weren't sure of down the road the implications of a national ID program, a mandatory, a voluntary, what the program might be. So we do maintain a unique individual animal ID number on those. The state of origin, as well as a lot number, and our customer code that we give those producers is also on that tag. And that these tags are all custom printed, so if you have in-herd management numbers, identification schemes, you can include those as well. And these are all custom ordered, custom printed tags. As I said, the marketing document then includes the information from this portion up, that is the age, genetic, and source verification information. If you see a document without that USDA seal, then it is not one of our generated documents, but that is the verification document that we use with the PVP as those cattle can move forward. We do have the ability to customize marketing information within our database and on that document. And so if producers have marketing information that they want to convey, or if they have additional detail management, vaccination information, we're currently in the process of working through some partnerships where if a company has done the health verification side of it, that we will also marry those together or incorporate those together into our documents as well. And so we're kind of evolving into that to try to provide more options, again, to try to marry up that information that's going to create more value, create more information. Again, this is just an example of one of those documents with that additional information highlighted down below here relative to marketing and the additional practices that those cattle would have on them. We do quite a bit of different things to try to get that information out in the industry. We have email blasts that go out to about 600 order buyers, feedlots of when these cattle are going to be provided. Maintain this list on our website as well. And so that information gives them the ability to also access that information on that marketing document if they want more specific information relative to the genetics behind those cattle. Another thing, a recent addition to our program, the Certified Angus Beef Program, of course, started back in 1978, was based strictly on a phenotypic approach relative to the GLA to identify cattle to go into that program, identified at the plant. We have now added a genotypic stipulation as well with the Angus Source Program to where it allows cattle that may not necessarily be black-hided, the smoke-colored cattle, for example, that are sired by registered Angus bulls, can enter or access the CAB program. We've worked with three different packers at this point in time that have implemented this additional genotypic spec into the GLA, and so that's up off the ground and running forward as well. We get the question, like everybody does, of, well, what does this pay? And I appreciate the comments earlier. Sometimes it's kind of hard to determine the true value of some of the different management programs that we might employ on a set of cattle. But here's some very anecdotal information that we utilized out of the video auction there last summer, that trying to compare very like sources of cattle relative to their descriptions, their weights and locales, and when they were going to be marketed, and just trying to get us a handle on what value can be created. And again, we're not saying that this is all related to the Angus Source Program or Angus cattle. I mean, we know there can be health premiums like we started with. There can be age source verification premiums as well that are making up that. But these are some success stories that we've seen on Superior as well in January, doing the same type of approach. We can look and see that about a $7 100-weight premium on a set of cattle there, $6 in this age group of more long-yielding type of cattle. And so it's, again, I think we're trying to do like these other programs and try to create value for the producers that are utilizing Angus genetics and try to keep them in a more profitable situation as they are in beef industry. Bob?
Thank you, Bill. Anybody have any questions for Bill on Angus source programs?
We've got a question that isn't restricted to Bill necessarily, but for all these programs, how do you see incorporating things like DNA? So, you know, at what point in time are they guaranteed tender? Obviously, within every breed, we know there's lots of variation. At what point in time do you guarantee, you know, certain performance, all those sorts of things? Do you guys see incorporating that into your programs or not?
Well, I think the performance level, for example, I mean, we've made it very easy to access that genetic information on those cattle and try to pass that along. And I think that's one of the things we have to continue to impress upon our producers. Just because they have an Angus source tag or just because they're an Angus-sired calf, they're not all superior genetic merit for the industry. And so I think, again, what we want to try to pass along is that this information is valuable. You can have information that's going to cause discounts as well. And so I think we want to look at the information side of it and make sure that we're very diligent in passing that along. Anybody else?
Crawl, walk, run.
I'd like to think that, you know, someday we could, all the cattle, groups of cattle at least, could come with some sort of an outcome, a predicted outcome. Whether that, you know, over time, yet maybe a sire information start off with, or even, like I said in the presentation, even a biological type, these are 25% continental, 75% British, whatever, all the way up to what you're talking about is they also come with either sire DNA information or individual animal DNA information. So these animals should perform like this. Health-wise, they should do this because of the way they've been pre-treated, and maybe even with grid outcomes, these animals might be best marketed on this grid to take advantage of this labor. I'd like to think that happened.
Rob?
In response to your question, Brian, similar to American Angus, Grid Angus also has what we call feeder facts, where we make a mass email distribution of information on feeder cattle certification program cattle that are going to be available to various cattle outlets. And if there's previous carcass history on cattle coming out of that herd, that's part of that feeder facts. But that's retroactive. That's not looking at the future. But these are some history there.
Right. Following up with a question a little bit, do you think the genomics companies will come up with their own tags to sort of guaranteed tender, or do they think they'll just incorporate that into your programs?
Yes.
Good answer. Well, everybody, I certainly appreciate you guys' attention and willingness to stick around. It's commendable. Before you leave, a couple of quick things. One, again, recognize both the CSU and Carter Livestock and CBA groups for hosting the BIF this year. I think it's been a tremendous meeting, and I've certainly learned a lot. And finally, I just want to thank all of our speakers, Keith and Steve and Dick and all the breed reps for coming. I learned a lot, so a little selfishness there. I did learn a lot today, and I hope the attendees did as well. And let's give our speakers a nice round of applause. Ron's got some handouts if anybody's interested, and certainly I think there may be some questions if you guys want to follow up individually.